Welcome back, guys, for another Uncomfortable. This is a special release episode, and it's all about disaster relief. Vince, as you know, we have a heart here at Moose Ministries to reach the world with the gospel and to help them with the needs they have in their community. And here in the United States, we have recently had an extremely tragic hurricane event that has wiped out a couple states. You know, it's pretty much devastated many parts of North Carolina, and I understand there's parts of Tennessee that have been drastically affected, and I think even South Carolina.
Georgia. South Carolina, yeah.
So there's several states that have been drastically affected. Many people have been displaced. Many people are in a very, very dire situation, and there's a lot of people who died. There's a lot of deaths that have happened. There's a lot of families mourning, and as Christians, as believers, you know, the reality is Christ really started things reaching the lost. He didn't reach the healthy. He didn't go after those that were high society, always driving their Rolls Royce. And, you know, he went after those that were in the down and out.
That were hurting.
They were hurting. The orphans, the abused, those that were widows, the homeless. I know that steps on a lot of our toes, especially in a generation, and I don't know what was happening in Christ's time, but in a generation where there's a lot of homeless people that are not really homeless, they're con men or con women.
And there was back then too, yeah.
The newest generation calls them out on it because they're like, dude, your shoes are $300. You know, so the newest generation calls some of these people out on it, things that I may not even notice. Dude, your jeans are $150 jeans. Why are you begging? You know, go sell your jeans. You know, stuff like that. Now, granted, be that as it may, the reality is as a Christian, our responsibility is to be the light to the world, the salt of the earth. As the salt of the earth, we're the ones that are supposed to bring the love of Christ in such a way that we bring hope, healing, and encouragement into someone's life, right? We're supposed to be an inspiration of hope. We're supposed to help them understand that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. And by touching someone right in the depths of where they are, there's no better way than to show the love of God. The Word talks about how that we'll be known by our works, but we're not saved because of our works, right? So
there's an old saying that says I don't mean to cut you off. There's an old saying that says they don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
There you go. I mean, the reality is it's not the works that save you, but when you're saved and you have the love of Christ, it drives you to doing things for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the actual saving grace that he puts in you. He changes your heart. He begins to rearrange your heart. And sometimes, I've been there, where sometimes our heart doesn't align with the heart of Christ, and we have to say, Lord, I don't feel compassion towards these people because of X, Y, Z. Show me how to align myself with you and your word. Lord, help me to have compassion for those around me. But be careful. He'll respond. He'll answer, right?
Mm.
So the reality is, as many times as Christians, when we avoid doing social good outreach, when we avoid doing, you know, our social responsibility, to coin the current term that we use in the corporate world, we're actually avoiding the actual mission that Christ gave us as the church. Jesus went around healing lepers, healing the blind, helping the mute speak. Why is it that we avoid those people that are in need? He didn't avoid people because they were elderly or because they were a child that was a little extra. You know, he loved people because they needed love. He loved people because they needed compassion. He loved them because he knew they needed the joy of God in their life. And as we are the light of the world, and we meet them where they are, we open their heart to experience the love of God in a compassionate way, to where they truly understand who Christ is and what his purpose was and continues to be. Now, As part of what we're talking about, we also are wanting to make sure that everyone's aware we currently have a we're raising money, basically. You know,
campaign.
We're campaigning. That's the word, Vince. Thank you so much. I should have written it down. We're currently running a campaign to help the victims of the Hurricane Helene. And yeah. we've had several generous donations already, but we want to continue to raise more money so that we can get clean water filters, water filters to clean the water, right?
Right.
So, of course, the water filters will be clean, but, you know, so that the water can be clean that they're drinking there and in these different areas, we want to make sure there's a way for them to do that. But
well, there's some of those areas right now that are not capable of even running the city water or anything through. There's nothing there for it to clean. It's either been wiped away or there's still no power there to do anything of that nature, or there's just nowhere to get it.
That's right.
So they have to go to public sources, which may still possibly be contaminated or running over contaminated items or rocks or things of that nature. So,
well, let's just face the facts. Some people say, let's just bring bottled water in and be done with it. Well, bottled water runs out. And they're saying that this is going to take a year, maybe 2 years, you know, to really get their infrastructure back up and running. If that's the case, they need a sustained thing to keep them in the good for a while. You know, so if they can have a water filter to where all they've got to do is go down to the lake and get some water, or even if they can get the pumps running again to somehow pump some sort of water there and then they can filter it, then they're going to be in a safe place to where they can have the life-saving water, because we all need water. We can go longer without food than we can water.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if the filter only lasts several weeks, it's, you know, if they need a second filter, it's a lot easier than trying to say, okay, guys, here you go, here's one, and you're stuck after a few days. Whereas, you know, these things tend to last a little bit longer.
Well, the filters that we're looking to supply, Vince, they last at least a year. The expected use consistent use is a year.
So that's even better than I thought.
So it's basically an expected rate of 100,000 gallons is what this filter expects that it can last through. So you're looking at, I won't get into the details about it. If you want to know the details about the filter, you can always email me at uncomfortable@moosministries.org, and we can send you the information about what kind of filters we're looking at. But the thing is people need clean water. They need a way to be sustained. And I was thinking of praying about this, and you and I talked about this before I even started this campaign. And I had even shared with you that I really didn't want to start raising money until I knew I had a path to get things there.
Right.
Because I have a strong feeling that I have to be super diligent with the funds that the Lord brings in. And I've got to make sure that things are going to be used for the kingdom purpose that they're purposed for. And so my whole charge, maybe it's really more to myself and my own feelings about things, but my charge that I felt was, let's find a path to get the water filters there. So I started thinking about it, praying for about it. And I remember I even contacted you, and I contacted another friend. Well, my other friend reminded me of somebody that I used to go to church with. Well, this person happens to work with a very well-known organization, and when I called them, it was a very nice reconnection, because it had been several years since we talked. And I started sharing with them the heart of what I wanted to accomplish, that I wanted to get water filters in, because I understood that that would be a whole lot easier and more sustainable to maintain than trying to get water bottles in continuously. Because not only when you get the water bottles there, do you have to get more in, but now you've got trash you've got to get out.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are not thinking about that. Once you get it in, now you've got trash you've got to get out, because they don't have trash services running either. So, I shared my vision. I shared my heart on this thing with them. And a lot of this was birthed because of going into the Amazon jungle. And sometimes we take water filters in with us to certain areas that they can't dig wells. And so I really was, this all kind of stirred together for me. And I shared this with him, and he goes, look, let me make a call. Let me send out some emails and I'll get back with you. Well, probably about a day and a half, he texted me back. He goes, hey, Kirk. He goes, we have identified two counties in North Carolina that desperately need this. He goes, I'm going to get back with you, and we're going to we'll airdrop those in for you. So, we have the path. We have the way to get them there. And this is a very trusted source. So I'm so excited that we're going to be able to get water filters into that area. But we're not going to limit it to that. If the Lord opens the door for us to help a community center or something like that, and we can bless in a way to where we can help a community center reopen, we're also going to invest in that as well, because a community center can be helped to empower the community, right? So there's two things that's on my heart. One, I want to get clean water filters in there. Number two, I want to see if we can somehow get a couple community centers back on their feet so that we can have a center that people can come to for help. You know, there's a launching point for these organizations that can actually get hands and feet there to be a center to where they can help touch the lives of these individuals that need some love, need some help, need some encouragement.
Sounds good to me. It sounds like something I can easily get behind. I know that I have worked in several disasters coming through the last several years. I've done a few tours with a very well-known organization that is a nonprofit that everyone is familiar with that shows up when disasters strike. They're extremely well known, but let's just say their colors are red and white, but I will not say that just so we don't get in any kind of trouble or anything like that.
Absolutely.
I've done some stuff with them. I've done some stuff with some, with a couple different ministries. I also did one, accidentally became a part of one. We just showed up to help out and they were there, and it was one of the denominations, and they're like, well, we'll make you honorary so-and-sos. Here you go. Like, okay.
There you go.
And we helped out with them actually even post the initial need. We helped out for about 6 months to a year to help people get back on their feet and things of that nature. So it's not just a matter of the immediate need, which the immediate need is always pressing and it's the most, but there also needs to be services. And us as believers, you were saying it earlier, our responsibility is to be salt and light. And so sometimes, you know, when it's over or the next big thing comes, we forget about the fact that people still not only have to get through the immediate, but they have to get back on their feet.
That's right.
And they've got things to do. And that's one of the reasons why I really like the filter idea, because even if it takes them months to get clean water flowing back through the faucets, I mean, some homes have been literally wiped off the map. So they don't have a faucet to get to. If they got to go to a certain location to get it, okay, I get it. But, I mean, these people are needing shelter. They're needing water and food and all that, which is being airdropped in. But like you said, the water bottles create waste. And although they may try to reuse them as much as they can, even then, there's, from my understanding, there's studies out there that say you should only reuse a water bottle for a certain amount of refills before you need to get rid of it, because it can actually cause it release toxins after a while.
Oh yeah.
That are have a negative impact on you. So having these filters there and available, I mean, that's such a good thing for them. And so I'm really excited about us being able to get them there.
Oh,
hopefully
yeah.
We can get a bunch of them there. Florida in the same thing as well. They've got some spots that still, they're still, I think as of Wednesday, I don't know if anything's changed, they were still not able to even get in because stuff was still flooded out in certain areas.
Oh, yeah.
But,
and I'm still in the process of working with a couple of these companies to see if we can work on our discount, as we are a 501c3.
Right.
So sometimes they'll work with us when we go into these areas and do different disaster relief. And
you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, as we're recording this, just so you know, we're also looking at, there's another hurricane sitting out there, Hurricane Milton.
Yep, I was just hearing about that too.
At the moment has been rated as a 5. They're saying that it's not going to hit Florida until maybe Thursday, and it's probably going to be downgraded quite a bit, and we're praying that it will be downgraded a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, things like that we have to be aware of. And the fact of the matter is, because our population is set the way it's set, people are in harm's way. And it's not I personally don't hate on anybody. I grew up in Louisiana. Look, people have been had stuff completely wiped out by floods that had nothing to do with hurricanes, and floods that have to do with hurricanes, and houses lost. And when that's just where you live, it's where you live, and you build back. And that's just how people are.
That's it.
I mean, people lose everything in tornadoes and build their communities back again. So you just hope to build back better and more resistant to these things, and with more knowledge and understanding for the future on what to do and how to combat it. So I wouldn't hate on anybody that's like in a specific area and they want to stay there. If anything, our thing should be, okay, well, let's reach out to them. Let's love on them. Let's be there to be a listening ear for them to share their experiences or their traumas, and be there to pray with them, to love on them. And you know, sometimes offering a helping hand is literally a helping hand. Hey, let me help you move that log or something.
Yeah, let me say one public service announcement. One of the things that did disturb me, as I've been watching a couple other reports, is there was an old woman that they were interviewing, and she was saying that people would drive by, and this was in an area that actually is still accessible, which there's a lot of them that are not accessible. Most of the areas that we're talking about, they're not accessible. Things will have to be
Yeah, in the
airdropped in.
mountains.
Yep. But they were saying that people would, they would come by, they wouldn't stop to see if they're okay, see if they need anything, but they would be videoing them. Like if there are animals in a zoo. And I would say to our listeners, guys, I understand if you want to go sightsee, see what's going on with the devastation, but please be respectful of those people that are in this situation. Even on mission trips, when I go, I encourage my teams that I lead out into the mission field to minimize photographs. And then if you're taking pictures, be respectful of those, invite them in, don't treat them as if they're in a zoo. You know, treat it more like how you would want to be treated yourself. And it goes back to what we've talked about several times about not making it all about us.
Yeah, if you're going to take pictures, offer a helping hand too.
There you go. And talk to them about, you know, hope. Ask them if there's something they need. If
But
you
get their
can't,
story, at minimum, get their story.
yeah, and if you can't do anything about it, maybe you could just say, hey, and I'm going to make you just make up a name. Mrs. Jones, would you mind if I post your information? Not your address, but would you mind me posting your story online so that people know and know how they might be able to help
And what's going
and what's
on,
going on? You know, be a voice, be a light, be one who creates change. A change maker is one who enacts action. Not someone that sits back and observes and just, you know, takes pictures. We've all gotten in a really bad habit, even those of us our age, about pulling out our phones and always wanting to, you know, post the latest thing that's going on. And they really make fun of it sometimes on some of these memes that you see where it shows people only wanting to video and never wanting to help. I saw a video that was extremely shocking. But thank God the person's alive, where someone fell in a like a subway situation, bumped somebody else into the train track area. Well, nobody got out to try to get the person out of the way until the train stopped. And they were just waving at the train, and the caption said the only hero here was the train operator. Because nobody attempted to help them until there was a sure thing that there was no possible way they could get hurt. And the lesson that I think is there, the uncomfortable lesson, is not necessarily that you're going to throw yourself in death's way, right? But when you become uncomfortable, sometimes you back off. And we talk about this on the show a lot. Sometimes those things that are uncomfortable are the areas that we need to deal with ourselves, you know, in our own lives. And if there's an area like, let's say your neighbor, and this is a simple thing. It's not even something like the disaster area, but you have a widow that she can't keep up her grass because she can't even push the mower because she's too weak. Maybe it wouldn't hurt for you once a month to go mow her yard. Maybe it wouldn't hurt for you just to go check on her, you know, every once in a while to make sure she's okay. You know, I think sometimes we get so caught up in our lives that we forget to be the church.
We get caught up in our own mess in what we're doing.
And this isn't an indictment. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad.
No, I think this is the factual statement.
Yeah, I mean, I work and do ministry. But there's times that if I'm not careful, my work can get so demanding that it can almost push everything else out. I have to be super intentional not to get distracted because my work can be so demanding sometimes. And you know my heart. My heart is to be in the thick of ministry.
Right.
And my heart is to always be right in the middle. If I could, I'd be over there in that disaster area right now.
Yeah, same.
But right now, where I'm at, I have some responsibilities I have to take care of. But what can I do? As a current bivocational minister, I can use the skills God's given me through my training that he's given me through the marketplace, and I can put those to work. I'm a project manager. So I can turn around and use those same skills to begin to mobilize and move things in the background where other people wouldn't be able to do that. And it's a blessing because I'm able to start moving things even when I can't personally be right there in the middle of it. Now, if God makes a way, praise God, hallelujah, guess what? I'm gone. I'm going to go.
Right.
And
you know, oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, thank God I've got a wife that loves me and supports me. Because she's right there with it, and she has a heart to love on people and to really make a difference too.
You know, I was looking it up, and they say on average that now on the low end they say it's as low as 60 gallons a year. As on the high end, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 150, about 160 gallons of water that the average American consumes in a year.
Very good.
So
that's a very good statistic to know.
On average, now this isn't the definitive. This is just some stuff I was looking up. That kind of a mixture of websites on Google, kind of looking at the clips and highlights. But yeah, it says on average it's somewhere between roughly about 60 to maybe 160 gallons a year, depending on the individual, and that's based on a 44 ounce of water a day habit.
There you go. I love it.
So yeah, could be a little bit more, could be a little less. Some people only drink a bottle of water a day. Some people drink more than that.
Well,
I consume quite a bit more. So.
It's better if you consume more, that's for sure. But yes.
Oh yeah. But when you're in an area like that too, and your resources are limited, if you have the ability to have clean drinking water for up to 100,000 gallons, you're nowhere near going to run out, even if you are consuming like the amount that you need to survive without dehydrating. And it's hot there still. It's still warm. You know, the other issue we've got is, I mean, the colder weather is coming to the mountains. So I mean, you've still got to worry about clean water and all that other stuff like that too. But so hopefully and prayerfully there are these other solutions that get brought up for these other things. But I know this is the one that stood out. This is the one that kind of stands with the ministry, and we're like, this is what we're going to do.
Oh yeah. We already take water filters into the Amazon jungle of Peru.
Yeah. So it wasn't anything hard to get behind because it's something we already are doing.
Oh yeah. And guys, you know, if you feel the need to help support, please, you can always go to the Moose Ministries website. You can go to mooseministries.org. We're also going to post a link directly through the giving platform that we use in the show link. So whether it's on YouTube, on the podcasting show, we're going to pop that in there, and it's going to be right there in the show notes down there. You can click it, and it'll take you straight there. You won't have to go through the website if you don't want to deal with that. I'll go ahead and drop the website link just in case people are curious about what we're doing, what all we do. But so you'll be able to see that too if you want to. But if you specifically want to make sure it goes directly to the hurricane relief, the link that's through the donor box directly there that says Hurricane Helena relief, that's the one you need to click. Because that and on the main page of the Moose Ministry site, we currently have a link that's for the hurricane relief. So even if you go to that one, you still have a way to easily get there. Because right now, we know these people are desperate in need. They need something quick to the point to where we're not even going to ship the filters here and drop a sticker on it with a QR code. This isn't about us. This is about helping people, loving them. And 100% of what you're giving is going to go to the relief. None of this is getting pulled out for anything else. 100% is going to the relief. So we're not even taking a percentage to cover our costs. You know, anything that comes to us, we're going to use to purchase this and send directly to the team that's going to be directly delivering them in the field.
Yes, that is awesome. So remember, guys, continue to pray for those in the nation that are hurting, that are affected by this. And the main areas that have been drastically affected. Now, there are some that have been affected not as bad, but there are some that have been drastically affected. And that is starting just going geographically north to south would be North Carolina, Western North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, parts of Georgia, kind of different spots here and there, parts of South Carolina, and a pretty decent portion of Florida that had gotten quite a bit of storm surge from Tampa and Clearwater, Florida, St. Petersburg, all the way up to where it landed in the Big Bend area, and some communities were completely wiped off the map by the storm surge.
Yeah,
I think they're seeing somewhere between 50 and 20 feet. 15, not 50, excuse me. 15 and 20 feet of a storm surge. So,
hey, and just to make sure that we're clear, because I don't want people to be confused, if you give through the link from the donor box link, that link is the one that is the 100% goes to the relief.
Yes.
If you give into our general giving that says we're needed most, then that's where whatever's needed most is where it's going to go. So the one that's going to be the 100% goes to the hurricane relief. There's a specific campaign just for the hurricane relief to make sure that all of those funds go directly to the relief. I like to be very transparent. I don't like confusion. I don't want people to be misunderstanding where things are going. So we want you to make sure if that's your intent for it to go to the hurricane relief, please click the button that says hurricane relief on the ministry website or go to the link down below. And you can click the one that says hurricane relief, and that's going to be the one you need to click for everything that you give to go to 100% to the relief.
I love that you cleared that up to make sure this way there is no room for error in that sense. No room of saying, well, you didn't do that right. You cheated him and all that. So no.
Right. I don't want you to feel like anything was misappropriated. We want to make sure it goes to where you are designing it to go. And to be honest, we don't have time on the back end to go into the other system and try to reappropriate those funds. That's why we prefer, it's not that we can't, and it's not that we won't. It's just, it becomes a very cumbersome process and it takes a lot of time. So it's easier if we make sure it gets done
on the front end,
right on the front end, so that everything's clear and there's no misunderstanding. We want to make sure that it's going to go where you would like it to go. Now.
Yes, buddy.
How does it look for churches? I think churches are some of the most responsive people in the world when it comes to humanitarian relief. And I would even say that if there is a local church that you know that's in the middle of doing some work, get involved. Get in the middle of doing that humanitarian relief, whether it's in one of these areas we're talking about or there's another area that you have a heart for that God's really pricking your heart for, get involved. You know, we would love for you to help with the hurricane relief. We really would like that. But the most important thing is be obedient with where the Holy Spirit's telling you to be involved and get plugged in. Get rooted into the purpose that God has for you in your life. And I really believe that the Lord's called each and every one of us to affect the community around us in some form or way. And that we should not have a hands-off mentality as the body of Christ. So I encourage you, just get involved however you can. Volunteer locally, you know, donate to a disaster relief effort, you know, get involved with your local church or outreach event, or, you know, find a good organization like ours or another one that is trustworthy, one that you know that you can trust, that you know that they're going to send your gift to where they need to go.
Yeah.
One of the guys at work that works with me, he and I were talking about this exact situation, and he told me, he goes, man, this is really exciting. He goes, knowing what you're doing, and you're somebody that I can trust. He goes, many times I won't give because I don't know where the money's going to go.
Mm.
And I think that's sad, because we do live in a world where there's a lot of question about things. And there's a lot of people that are not doing what they should do. But for one, I'm a very cautious person. So I understand people that feel like that. I'm like that. I need to know people. I need to know what's going on. But I also know that we need to get things done. And sometimes we need to ask. So I have a heart to reach the nations. I have a heart to reach the world. And I think that if we're not careful as the body of Christ, we can become apathetic and we can become one that stands off from a distance and looks at the situation and doesn't get involved. And I think that really hurts the heart of Christ. So if you have questions about an organization, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you. And as always, listen to what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. If the Holy Spirit says, yes, go, do it, give. If he says red light caution, might not be the one for you. So, any final words before we wrap this one up, Vince?
No, just give where the Lord tells you to do it, whether it be with us, with somebody else, or that you trust, or by going and being the actual hands and feet and going showing up, you know, and things like that. And continue to pray for those who are in the path of this new and coming. Pray for this thing to wither and die and not to have any kind of hellacious consequences on the coasts or throughout the rest of the state. And that all those that are affected would still be able to be up and running in a pretty decent amount of time.
Yeah, and for this show, I'm not going to ask anyone to support what we're doing right here. I'm going to ask if you like what we do, please give a little something to support, you know, the relief efforts for the hurricane victims. Please,
you can still follow us in the future, though.
Absolutely, if you want to continue to support us in the future, that would be great and awesome. But for this particular show, I would just ask for you to, even if it's just a little. You'd be surprised, even if it's a small amount, how much that makes a difference to someone in need.
Right.
Because it could be the difference between them getting a water filter and not having a water filter, between them having food to eat and not having food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or like in a situation like COVID, having toilet paper and not having toilet paper.
That was a huge issue. Oh my
goodness,
God.
It was awful. And
people were freaking out.
And hopefully people don't freak out about that again. But, you know, the reality is we need to be those that love our neighbor as ourselves.
Salt and light. Salt and light.
We need to be that salt and light. Guys, we want to encourage you, just like Vince said, to pray for your neighbor. Pray for those that are around you, those that are going through suffering. Guys, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you again next time.
See y'all later.